here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Wills. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, Scott Goble. Now, before we get into the show, this episode is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, Scotty, we are sub 5 weeks out from FitX 2014. How are we feeling?
Mate, we're feeling all right. I was just saying to you before that it's just starting to get a little bit hard now. Like, there's plenty more hard work in front of me, but up until now, it's been relatively effortless in terms of, you know, fatigue levels and tiredness and stuff like that. And even now, while it's far from bad, it's just a case of I am feeling the diet most of the time. It's not a case of I feel great 90% of the time and 10% of the time I go, oh, yeah, I'm dieting. Now it's more a case of 90% of the time I know I'm dieting and 10% of the time I feel great. So that's all right. As long as that 10% of the time is when I'm stimmed absolutely off my face for my workouts in the morning, then we're all good.
Yeah, exactly. Now we've got, it's literally like 1 month and 2 days till I fly out to Melbourne. So when you look at it like that, it's like, when you look at the amount of days it is, it's like 33 days or 32 days or whatever it is. So it's like it's not far at all. Like it's pretty much a month away. So it's very, very exciting. But how's your week been? I mean, in terms of prep and stuff like that, how's it all been going?
It's been really good. I've progressed a lot in the last couple of weeks. Dropped a few kilos. I have crunched the diet and the carbs back really hard. Like had a few 50 gram carb days and things like that. So I've flattened out. Like I've noticeably flattened out, but it hasn't affected performance in the gym as of yet. I am going to have a high carb day probably on Wednesday on my leg day just to try and fill out and keep me going for a little bit longer. It's all going well. I'm very happy with where my condition is. I know I've still got a lot left in the tank, both mentally and physically. I'm looking forward to pushing even harder and bringing in something pretty special. I think I've positioned myself where absolutely no reason I can't be 100% on the money. So that gives you confidence and that gives you the motivation to keep going and just see how far you can take it. So the struggles almost a reward in themselves, because you know it's because you're actually getting somewhere now and you're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and this is the stuff that will determine who wins and who loses, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, some people, like, there's no doubt there's people out there now that are probably even listening to this that are going to crack in their diet. They're going to do something, they're going to fuck up, they're going to eat something wrong, they're going to, you know what I mean, they might overwork. I mean, I did that the last time I competed. I just over-depleted and just depleted and depleted and depleted and to a point where I was losing a lot of muscle and I flattened out and I looked softer. So there's people that are going both ways, and it's kind of, yeah, make or break time. And there's a lot of people dieting. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people competing at FitX, and I think the standard's going to be absolutely awesome, and it's going to be one of the premier comps, if not the premier comp, amateur comp in Australia. So I can't wait for that. But yeah, I know what you mean with the prep getting hard now, Scotty. The same kind of way, and I had to, I was mentioning to you before the show, I had to push my cheat meal back a day this week, and you don't think one day makes much of a difference?
Having to push that Nutella brownie and ice cream back while the rest of us are, you know, having an extra 200 grams of sweet potato on our leg days.
I think there's still a lot of people having cheat meals. I mean, I normally leave my cheat meals for the end of my diet, but I actually had more cheat meals through the diet, so... But, Holly made that up for me, and I kind of bit off more than I could chew when I had it. I had this chunk of it. It was like half the size of a plate and ice cream, and, yeah, it did make me feel quite crook, if that's any consolation, so.
Well, yeah, I had 50 grams of carbs yesterday, so I don't feel too bad for you.
Nah, I didn't think so. But, Scotty, we've got a big show planned ahead of us. We've got a few guests kind of lined up and in the works, so I'm just sorting all that stuff out. But before we get started, I just want to make a correction. I posted a picture of Andrew Crawford, who's going to be competing in your class, in the Open Pro Qualifier at FedEx. And I posted a picture of him, and I said it was 5 weeks out. And it was actually a photo from last year, because the reason I posted it was kind of a repost from what Dennis James posted up on his Instagram account. And he said he's working with Andrew Crawford, and he's 5 weeks out and all this stuff, and he posted a photo. And I just, obviously, you know, anyone would naturally assume it was from 5 weeks out this year, as it was as it is 5 weeks out this year. And no, it wasn't. So I just wanted to just kind of correct people. So if they saw that photo, his wife actually told me that he's looking, she commented on the photo and said, oh, this is actually last year. And she commented and said the changes are dramatic for this year and there's going to be no more photos posted. And they just want to kind of, I guess they want to shock people on the day. So he could be a sleeper, Scotty.
Oh, there's no doubt. We've said all along that Andy was the dark horse. Keeps to himself, looked absolutely massive in the off-season. Working with Dennis James, you know, over there in person, he's doing everything he can. So, definitely the dark horse contender.
Yeah. Actually, through the week, I got to catch up with the guy that won it last year, IFBB Pro Luke Shemry, and that was on, I can't remember what night it was on. We went and did a training video, and I videoed him. It was on, I think it was on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday, and I videoed him training some chest because he's over here doing some stuff for Muscle Mills and on a bit of a business trip. And we filmed him in 24/7 Power Fitness in Wanneroo, which is my gym, my sponsor as well. And he said he's like, you know, he's not going all out training at the moment. You know, he's busy with a few things and all that kind of stuff. And he said he's only training really 75% and things like that. But Scotty, he hasn't seemed to have really lost his size. I don't know if you've seen him in person, but he was still looking pretty massive in this video.
Yeah, no, I saw him a month or so back, so, yeah, no, he's still big. He's not at his absolute freakiest and fullest off-season beast mode, but I believe he did a chest video with him, so no doubt he'd be moving some impressive weights around. It's a strong body part for him, and no doubt, yeah, he fired off a few shots at me, never misses an opportunity, so I look forward to watching that one, as I do look forward to listening to this show each week in seeing what Mick has to say, although he does say some nice things as well.
Yeah. actually, you said Luke's probably moves him impressive weight and stuff in this video. Luke's actually doing the opposite. He trains like very light in this video because he said he doesn't have a spotter and he changes it up, but he does like he does something very different. So I don't want to, you know, let too much out, but that will be up on rxmuscle.com.au. in the coming days, if not already, part one will be up on the website by the time this show goes up. Most likely, actually, it will be up by the time this show goes up. So just go on rxmuscle.com.au and check that out. It'll be on the front page. And also, Scott, he has a good dig at you and a few other people as well. So, it's quite interesting. I won't tell you what he says, but I think you'll enjoy it. You'll have to have a shot back at him somehow.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll win my pro card and then he won't have that over me anymore, and he'll shrink down to the 212 class because he doesn't want to compete with the big boys.
he actually talks about his plans in the video because we kind of did it a bit different. Like I kind of just asked him a few questions while he was training, and then he kind of just spoke to the camera a bit and said what he was doing in his workout and stuff like that. So it's a bit of a different training video rather than just recording the audio over top. So I think that kind of turned out pretty well, but Scotty, I wanted to mention, it's pretty funny, like, the Shrew Classic's been on the last, like, you know, 2-3 years now, and we've kind of seen, like, through some of the videos on RX and stuff, like, how passionate the fans are over there. And you wouldn't think of India as, like, a bodybuilding country, but I guess they're just fans of sport in general. Like, you see it with the cricket, you see it with everything, they're just so, so passionate about it all. And Ronnie Coleman's just gone on a trip over there. And, like, there's a photo that went up online, and it was, like, him appearing at a mall or something. And there's literally thousands and thousands of people waiting there for him to basically arrive. Like, could you imagine anything like... I mean, if Ronnie Coleman appears in a supplement store over here, they think it's, like, crazy how many people come. That's probably a few hundred people. They're literally getting, like, you know, thousands and thousands, probably, like, 10,000 people, 20,000 people come out to see Ronnie Coleman. Dude, like... Do you think this is just a market that just is just too untapped for bodybuilding? Do you think there should be, you know, several pro shows over there in India, like maybe run a little bit differently than the Shrew Classic?
I think it's just a case of the percentages and per capita. If you bring Ronnie Coleman to a sup store here and there's, you know, 200 people attend, it's because within a 20K radius of that store, there's, you know, a few thousand people and 200 of them are bodybuilding fans. You take it to India, and within a 10K radius of that store, there's a million people living there. And of that, there's thousands and thousands of bodybuilding fans. So probably in a percentage basis, it's exactly the same. It's just that there happen to be a billion people in that country. But look, it doesn't really surprise me that the Indians are so passionate about it, because just to, you know, throw another little stereotype out there, more often than not, when I go into a 7-Eleven or a service station and it's staffed by an Indian, they're the guys that seem to comment and ask me how if I take, you know, Nitrotech or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it is ingrained in their culture. I think they do have a more positive association with big muscular physiques and the average Western culture.
Yeah, I love that as well. I love the positivity with it. Like, you know, because there's so many people, even people in the industry here, that are so negative and, you know, I mean, they, like I say, oh, you know, like they'll see a big dude like a Mr. Olympia and say, oh, that's amazing. That's phenomenal that he can get to that level, blah, blah, blah. In a Western culture, even like, you know, people in the bodybuilding industry are like, oh, fuck, it's stupid what he has to take to get to that. Oh, I would never do that. And that's even people that are bodybuilders a lot of the time. So I love the positivity and just, you know what I mean? Just leave the negativity aside for a bit. Like, there's people over here, like, you know what I mean? It's just, sometimes it just kind of pisses me off a bit that people shit, you know, not shit on our sport, but just, they just don't have a positive attitude with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, well, I think, yeah, it's just a cultural thing. And there's just a lot of people have a lot of avenues these days to voice negativity with the internet and social media, whereas they didn't in the past. So I think we just see a lot more of it, where it might have still existed in the past.
Yeah. Do you think there, like, there should be another comp, or, you know, there should be someone else maybe doing a comp in India? Like, you know, maybe not the level that the Shrew Classic's at with the terms of, you know, the prize money they gave away at the start and all that stuff, but maybe something where it's, you know, a big show, maybe they offer 60 grand or something instead of maybe 100 and something, so it's a bit more maybe maintainable?
Well, it's obviously got the market. Like you say, if there's that many fans, you know, they may not be independently wealthy, but there's got to be enough wealthy fans to be able to fund it. It's apparently a hugely growing industry for the supplement market and things like that. So for supplement companies that are trying to make inroads into it, you'd think they'd be keen to sponsor such a show. Absolutely. I mean, from all accounts, Shrew did a pretty decent job the, you know, the first year, the second year. He pulled it off and it was an amazing show despite the fact that it was terribly organised, and the third year it just all went to shit. But yeah, I imagine a competent promoter could make a real success of it over there.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, like, you know what I mean? It seems like the money's there, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it would make more sense maybe if Shrew started just a little bit slower or something and could have built it maybe into something that's, you know, going to be long-term, but now it seems like it's a bit of an unsure type thing. And I don't think it's on the schedule this year, so.
No, it's definitely not on the schedule this year.
Yeah, which is a shame. But anyway, Scotty, moving on. Now, we're going to talk a bit about 2014 and what's coming up in the pro ranks and who we think might come out of a woodwork like. So we're going to do our who's going to be the rookie of the year, and we're also going to do who's going to be our breakout of the year in the IFBB men's pro ranks. So I kind of thought of these two things, and I thought, like, I didn't have any names in mind or anything like that, but I came up with two names that I thought were pretty good names to put out there. And they're both from the American scene, because obviously, you know, any European guy could come over, but, you know, to be honest, I don't know a lot of them that have turned pro and stuff. I only know the, you know, amateur Olympia winner and stuff like that. So I'll start off, Scotty. Now, my rookie of the year for 2014, I'm guessing, will be Akeem Williams. Now, Akeem Williams, for those who don't know, he won, where did he win the overall? Was it at the North Americans?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so. Now, he struggled a lot with his condition as an amateur. He's working under Dave Palumbo, and he could never seem to get his condition quite right. And whatever Dave and him did for their last show, he seemed to come in even bigger, and he brought the condition. I don't know how they did that, but he did seem to be bigger, and he did seem to bring that crazy condition. And he's a super strong dude, and he's been packing on, like, substantial amounts of muscle just, you know, from year to year, he's been packing on a lot of muscle and looks really strong. They kind of like compare him a little bit to, you know, like Ronnie Coleman in terms of, you know, genetics and how quick he is coming up in terms of adding muscle and being super strong and stuff like that. You know, will he reach that level? You know, who knows? But I think he's got more chance than most to, you know, blow some people away and do really well. So he's going to be doing New York Pro, which is a tough comp, but he's obviously from that New York area. He trains with Juan Morel, who's his friend, and he's another New York guy. And, I'm excited to see how he goes. He's one of my more exciting ones. Like, you know what I mean? We had, like, Jason Ha a few years ago who, as a rookie and stuff, and he was exciting to see when he came out. And Akeem's kind of one for me that I'm excited to watch, you know, to see if he can bring that condition again or if he'll come in off. But I hope he brings the condition.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good tip. I think in terms of genetic potential, he's the absolute pick of the crop from this last rookie batch. Like you say, he grows like a weed. Like I think Dave said, he's put on something like 70 pounds of stage weight in 4 or 5 years, which is just crazy. He's come up from light heavyweight to heavyweight to big super heavyweight. So he's got the potential to keep growing. And like you say, if they're just figuring out his conditioning now, then who knows what he could be in the future. I still think as conditioned as he was in that North America show, I just think it was a really average show. And his physique stood out just because it was so big and complete. And I still think there's room to improve that conditioning, and he needs to at the next level. In terms of the ones that I'm going with, I think even though I had a few negative things to say about him, and I think his lower body's a little bit subpar, and that's Kevin Jordan, I think that the fact that he won't have to make a weight class will be of great benefit to him, because he's one of these guys that whenever he's dieting down for a show, he was always like, oh, I'm going to be a super heavy this year. I'll probably be, you know, 230, 235 on stage. I'm not going to be able to make the heavyweight class. And then at 2 or 3 weeks out, the plan all of a sudden changes, and it's like, nah, we're going to suck him down to heavyweight. You know, we're going to do whatever it takes, because he's either going to be the biggest heavyweight or he's going to be the smallest super. So I think that's worked against him. I think it's pretty problematic, and it's hard to come in really full if you do have to drop, you know, a quick 8 kilos in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I think if he's still working with Chad Nichols, if he puts a game plan in place, doesn't have to jump on the scales or look at weights, I think he could bring in a markedly improved physique. So he's going to be my pick. But the other guy I liked is, well, Akeem, definitely, and Joel Thomas, who didn't even win his class at the Nationals. He came second, but had the best physique up there. Again, just didn't quite have the conditioning. I believe he works with Pekulski. I'd like to see him really nail it. I think he could do some damage as well. But I'm going with Kevin Jordan. I'm not sure where he's making his debut. Do you know?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard yet. But one guy that I actually forgot about, that I might have even picked over Akeem Williams, now I think about it. And it's a big call, but Brad Rowe. Brad Rowe got second to Kevin Jordan. And they said, a lot of people said he was probably the second best guy there on the day after Kevin Jordan, but obviously they're in the same class. But Brad Rowe, he seems to be super consistent. I mean, I don't know if Akeem Williams or even Kevin Jordan will nail it when they compete. I mean, more likely than not, I think they won't be, you know, absolutely supremely conditioned. I think probably both of them will have a very good chance of being slightly off. But Brad Rowe, he works with Chris Aceto. I can't imagine him being off. Like, he just doesn't seem to really, like, you know, I mean, he seems like one of those guys that is just going to do his pro debut. You know, he's not going to win or anything like that, but he'll be just conditioned, like, out of mind.
Yeah, he'll be conditioned. He'll have a great lower body, but I think his structural issues will be pretty glaring on the pro stage. I think he's, I don't know, man. I don't see him ever cracking a, you know, even a top five, really. I mean, he's fairly young, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I disagree. I reckon he will.
Yeah, look, yeah, conditioning-wise, he's good. He's got some great body parts. His side leg is just absolutely mad. But, I don't know if he's got the structure to do it.
But you can see in a lot of these comps, maybe he'll get fifth or somewhere around there, and then you'll see maybe an Akeem Williams coming off and finishing, you know, seventh, eighth or something like that, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. But now my breakout for 2014. Now, this is a guy that I mean, he's on some people's radars, but he hasn't got a really crazy high placing or anything like that. And he's done two pro contests, and one of them I think was did not finish because it doesn't have a placing for him. So he did his first pro contest was the IFBB Europa Super Show, and this is Corey Matthews. So Corey Matthews won his pro card the year prior, I believe, and he finished fifth. And apparently he's a 212 guy. He can do 212, but yeah, he did an open show for his first show, and he placed in fifth place, and it was an impressive fifth place as well. And he's kind of got, some people have compared him to like Phil Heath, some people have compared him to like, you know, just other guys that look, have that kind of similar look. I think he probably, just from some of his photos, he needs to work on his posing just slightly. They don't seem to be, you know, 100% on where he should be, but his shape and everything is crazy. He's got some really good muscle. He just looks like a smaller version of, like, you know, perhaps not quite as good Phil Heath to me. And if he can just come in that a little bit tighter, he's going to do some major, major damage. And if he does a 212, then he's going to be right up there. I think he's going to be battling it out with guys like maybe, you know, he might be just behind guys like Jose and stuff like that. So he can definitely get a top five of the 212 Olympia, I think.
Ooh, top five of the 212 Olympia, wow. Well,
think about the guys who were in there this year. I mean, he finished top five in the Europa Super Show, which is a good show,
I'm thinking about Eduardo Correa and Samuel Haddad, who were...
Yeah, that's true.
Six, so.
I was thinking of Kevin English.
Look, Kevin English, he could beat him.
Now I think about it, yeah, maybe top eight or something.
But, man, excellent pick. You're right, he does. He, especially his most muscular, is quite Heath-like. He's pretty awesome. So that's a very good tip. Now, I honestly don't know who to go with this one. And it's funny, you mentioned a guy before, Jason Huh, who has all the potential in the world, but we've just haven't seen anything from him. I don't even know if he's still, you know, super motivated or what, but... there's so many guys with potential out there. Like, you could see, you know, Lionel Bierke or Cedric McMillan just go on a tear. Like, just figure it out, you know. Just commit 100%, figure it out, dial it in, and just rip shreds through a Europa and an Arnold Brazil, or who knows. Who's going to be a standout athlete? Look, you know, it's probably a piss-weak call. With John De La Rosa, but I really like that guy improves every time he gets on stage. He always comes in really good condition. I think he's going to be bigger again this year. I think maybe he has the potential to, you know, just move up the ladder. Like, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 Olympia guy, but I could see him making the Olympia. I could see him winning a Europa show. So he's someone maybe...
I think that's a good call, actually. I think that's a pretty good call.
And who's the other? Compton. Was it
Justin Compton?
That's Justin Compton. He was another young bloke who grew very, very rapidly, came out of nowhere at like 23, 24. Suddenly he's an outstanding pro with a crazy X frame and all the potential in the world. He got a little bit outmassed his first year, but he still looked fantastic. He was still on the money. He's one of those guys that could put on 5 kilos of muscle because he's still young. And if he did do that, he could really do some damage. So he's another one to keep an eye out for. Who else? I'm not sure. You know, I'd love it to be Abe Elzebak or something like that. That would be awesome if Abe suddenly walked on stage at, you know, 123 kilos, absolutely shredded to the bone, and just was the new fucking Meadax mass monster on the scene. That'd be pretty awesome. But that's your real long shot there. So I reckon, John De La Rosa or Justin Compton are probably a couple of young guys which have improvement in them and they're already pretty good. So I like to see the new blood come up. I don't think Bierke or McMillan are going to, you know, suddenly flick the switch and figure it out totally. Centipani's had a few years to figure it out. He might continue to improve at a slow and steady rate, but, I don't think he's just going to explode. I don't know that Roller can get a whole lot better than he did at the Olympia. Rami, you know, I mean, how much? He probably has to be top three Olympia for him to actually be a breakout athlete compared to what he did last year. I'm going to go with those young guys.
Yeah, and Justin Compton, I mean, he finished I'm not sure how high he finished, but it was somewhere around like fourth place or something like that. And I mean, it was a close top five, I remember. And he did a few shows, I think. And I mean, yeah, he looked like, I mean, if it wasn't for Big Ramy, he would have been the rookie of the year, I think. So I think he had a very, very impressive debut, and he added a lot of, I can't remember how much it was, but he added a lot of muscle just in that first year. You know, from turning pro, some people said he wasn't going to be big enough as a pro. And yeah, he could have had some more muscle in a few areas, but I think he filled out a lot and did a lot in that 1 year from turning pro to competing as a pro.
Yeah, he did a lot. He's done a lot the last few years. He was something like, you know, fifth in a national event, and then the next year he's suddenly a shitload bigger and better, and he won it. And then he debuts as a pro again, and he's another, you know, 5 to 8 kilos bigger, or just something ridiculous. So, you know, he's still got some improvement in him. And that's what's exciting about the young guys. When they're well into their 30s and 40s, like myself, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to see someone just catapult up the rankings.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the Australian pro, I mean, we're kind of almost like sometimes forgetting about the competitors and stuff that are going in it, because we're talking about FedEx so much, and we're talking about the pro qualifiers and all that stuff, which is super, super exciting. But we've got like such a stacked lineup, Scotty. Like, have you heard any more? Has Tony kind of mentioned any more names that he might be getting out here to you? Or
yes, he has. But
he
I
has?
Can't mention them. Yes, yeah. There's still more people in that Arnold lineup that Tony might get out. So he'll, you know, he won't let me say anything or make any announcement until contracts are signed and visas are stamped and flights are booked. But
no hints.
he's talking to the guy with the best wheels in the game.
Ah, very nice, very nice. I have no idea who that might be. So, but I do know. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see who comes out. But we've got, I mean, at the moment it is stacked. Like, well, I'll go through the list. I'll go through approximately where, I'll start at the top where they approximately will place. We've got Mike Debenham in there too, don't we? Another Aussie.
Yeah, we do. So I can't believe I forget about Mike. He's got a really good physique, and he's just an absolute champion bloke. Like, if you haven't met him, do an interview with Mike D. He's cool as intelligent, articulate. He's a great guy, so you'll get along with him well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll try to get him on this show actually, because I've got few people that might do it, and some people that are maybes, so I might get in contact with him and try to get him on, maybe record with him tomorrow just before I put the show up or something. But let's look at his lineup. We've got Sean Roden, who will probably be the favourite at this point. We've got Evan Centipani. We've got Rolly Winkler, so that's a pretty amazing top three, and who knows who else might be in there.
Yeah.
We've got multiple-time Arnold Classic champion and second place at the Olympia, Branch Warren.
Yeah.
We've got Jose Raymond. We've got Dave Henry, who I think he's a threat to knock out some of these bigger names if they're slightly off at the Arnold and stuff, and I'm excited to see where he fits in. We've got Ed Nunn, who I think's awesome. I love Ed Nunn's physique. If he's got just some little areas that he can just fill out a little bit, then he'll do awesome. And we're going to have a minimum of 5 Aussies in the lineup. With the pro qualifier competitors going in there. One of them might be you, Scotty, so I hope it's you. Now, we've got Luke Timms, who actually put a video up the other day that he did, and he kind of just announced that he's definitely in the Australian pro lineup, and he trains a bit of arms and stuff, so you can check that out on rxmuscle.com.au. Abe Elzebach, you mentioned him earlier in the show. I mean, he's one that I think could shock some people, because not last year, when he got his pro card, let's face it, he wasn't at his best, but he was good enough to beat, you know, a good, very good David Cutler. So he's one that I think could really, really shock some people. Do you think he could, Scotty? I mean, you kind of mentioned it before.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got 15 kilos of muscle that he could slap on that frame, which Abe at his best is absolutely ridiculous. When he won the Saltwater Classic and made Luke Shembury look like a light heavyweight. It was, well, I suppose Luke Shembury as a 212 would be a light heavyweight, but he absolutely dwarfed everyone and won it hands down, easily. Went on to play.
Was you at that comp?
No, mate, it was the same day that I was winning the super heavyweights at the IFBB Australia.
Oh, that's all right, yeah, of course. Now, and the other Aussie in the lineup, Mike Debenham. And then we're going to have the two Aussies that win their pro card. So that's super, super exciting. And, like, who else? I remember that Tony mentioned a couple of smaller names that are going to be in the lineup too, like probably some good guys. I think there's a guy making his pro debut here.
Ebony Wilson.
Yep. Where's he from?
Not sure. I think he's American, but he's been living out here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
So he might be like kind of like another Aussie almost, like Aussie resident.
Yeah, I saw him up at the IFBB Nationals. I'm not sure who he was hanging around with or what he was doing there, but I think he might have resided around that area at the time. I don't know if it was a permanent thing or if he was just there, but yeah, he's making his pro debut.
Do you know how he got his pro card or anything?
No.
Excited to see him now, actually. He could be like a mysterious, like come out like Abe type thing when he's an amateur, but obviously as a pro, so. That's cool. That's cool. I like seeing pro debuts because he's someone I've never heard of before, and, if someone you've never heard of before and can come out and blow people away, then that's pretty exciting. So it's going to be a massive, massive lineup. Now, Scotty, on that note, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in a few minutes for your Ask Scotty segment and bodybuilding yes or no.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Editor-in-chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermoburn protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm here with Scotty Goble once again, and we are here for his bodybuilding yes or no and Ask Scotty segments. Scott, are we ready?
I'm ready, mate.
Excellent. Now, we'll start off with bodybuilding yes or no's. Yes or no, will FedEx's amateur contest and pro qualifier get over 250 competitors?
Yes. Yep. I think easily. I think there'll be something ridiculous like 100 bikini competitors. It'll probably be like 25 men's physique competitors. And then all the bodybuilding and figure divisions and everything else will probably be, yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. I reckon it'll be closer to 300 than 250.
Yeah, and like I know a fair few people all of a sudden now that are doing the like my classic division, which is just, I think it's all combined into one, and I think they might have to split that up or something because by the sounds of it, like, they're just people I know, you know what I mean? So more people are kind of here coming to me saying, oh, they're doing FedEx and all that type of stuff. I'm like, holy shit, there's going to be a lot. So it's, I think it's going to be a big jump up from last year's 170-odd that they had. So
yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a massive show.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very exciting. Now, next question. Will Kevin Lavrone ever step back on a pro stage?
No, I don't think so. I think Kevin is just playing around and trying to make some noise and keep his name out there and, you know, allude to the fact that he could and remind everyone what an amazing genetic specimen he is. But I don't think he's going to do it. I don't know. It'd be pretty hard to do it after all this time off. And I don't. And his body would respond in an amazing way that no one else's would. But it's still not going to leap back to Mr. Olympia form in 3 months like it used to.
Nah, I totally agree with you there as well. Now, there's another one in the very much the same vein. Will Milos Sarchev ever compete on an IFBB pro stage again? Or at all? Will he compete at all again?
Well, Milos, I don't know about. I'm less certain about him because he's crazy. So he can do anything. I don't know that the bloke's mentally stable, even though I know Andy Bell loves him. So Milos could, but he's had injuries. He's had all sorts of legal issues, dramas. Pretty much every personal misfortune that could befall an individual has befallen Milos at some point in time. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's even in good standing with the IFBB. I would say no. It's highly unlikely.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of those. But it's always something that gets thrown around and all that type of stuff. So I thought I'd ask it to you, Scotty. But moving on to your Ask Scotty segment. Now, do you think that anyone out there competing in the amateur contest at FedEx, outside of the pro qualifier divisions, if Tony does do it where you can step up from obviously the amateur like he did years ago, where the, like, you know, the open winner would step into the pro qualifier and stuff like that, if he did that, is there anyone over any of the divisions you think could actually nab a pro card, or do you think the ones in the pro qualifier are just too good?
I think the ones in the pro qualifier will be too good. I can't see anyone coming through that and winning a pro card in either division, to be honest. Like, you know, I'm really excited to see Sonny up there. Aaron, those guys, they could be good enough to win their divisions. But I can't imagine either one of them's quite at the level where they're going to win a pro car just yet. I think it could be in their futures, absolutely. So I can't think of anyone. No one really leaps out at me. I know there's a good junior in it. A few other people, but they're not at the level that, you know, the pro qualified guys are at. I can't see any of them beating a Cutler or someone like that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. No, that's a fair decision there. Now, next question. How do you know when you're too depleted when you're dieting? You might start eating into muscle. And how do you stop that?
Look, it's an experience thing. It's a sensation and it's a look. The look of real flatness is when you sort of flex your muscles, but nothing really happens anymore. Like, they don't really ripple and contract. They just sort of flexed. For me, my chest is a great gauge of my fullness. Like, when I flex it, it really striates and pops if I'm full. When I get really flat and depleted, it kind of just does nothing. I think it's a case, for most people, it's your weaker body parts which will show it. I guess it's because they're the ones that store the least amount of glycogen, so maybe they flatten out first. Like, my legs will always look full. Like, if you were to gauge my fullness off my legs, it doesn't matter. They always look full. But my chest will flatten out pretty quickly. My arms will flatten out quickly. So that's a look. And the sensation is within the gym itself, when you're training, you just can't sustain a level of intensity. Like, you do a couple of sets and you're just exhausted. If that's the case, you're probably running low on fuels and you might need to carb up a little bit. Now, I know I'm getting close to that point. I've managed to grind through a few hard workouts, but I'm going to have a big carb up this week because I know if I keep going, I'm just going to flatten myself out to the point of no return or potentially risk muscle. But honestly, I reckon you have to get really, really, really flat. Like, there's been lots of times where I've dieted extremely hard to get in condition, and I've thought, oh, I've lost muscle here. But then when I've eaten up after the comp, I've filled out and I've looked bigger than ever. So I hadn't really lost muscle. I just severely, severely flattened out. So I think you can be a little bit too paranoid. I think more often than not that you can, you will probably not psychologically break, but the sensation will get you before you physically go. Like, you will just be that exhausted and that buggered and that useless in the gym before you actually really start breaking down muscle at a high rate, assuming you're not absolutely abusing stimulants and thyroid hormone and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Very good answer. Now, how long do you take to actually fill up, like, in terms of, like, and how many carbs are you going to have on your big carb up, you said?
I'm probably going to have about 800 grams of carbs, which is what I do. Last year I carved up on 1,000 grams of carbs, so it's just a little gauge for me to see how my body takes it. So I'll have 800 grams of carbs in a day and just see what happens. I'd expect to put on about 2 kilos and feel a fair bit better for the next, three or four workouts or more until I slowly deplete that back down again. So, I'll just do that once and see how the body reacts. And I'll probably be doing that every week leading up to the show now.
Yep, for sure. Excellent. Now, what's your theory, Scotty, on locking out on exercises or not locking out on, pressing movements and things like that? And does it vary from body part to body part?
In my general view is, continuous tension is invaluable to stimulating muscle. So I don't lock out on any pressing movement at all. There are some movements where I guess you can technically lock out where the muscle is still under tension. Like, if you look at a leg extension, when you lock out at the top, there's massive amounts of tension on the quad still. So you could lock out on something like that. You could lock out on a tricep kickback or something. But as a general rule, the lockout will reduce muscular tension, not increase it. That's not what we're after as bodybuilders. As bodybuilders,
we want to stimulate the muscle, not give it an opportunity to rest. Now, obviously, if you have different goals, if your goals are purely strength orientated, or you're a powerlifter or something like that, you need to, you know, be able to lock out a bar to complete a successful lift. So there could be some instances, and even some instances within a particular training cycle for a bodybuilder, where you are focusing purely on strength that you may lock out for reasons. But as a general rule, I discourage it. I don't lock out on squats. I don't lock out on leg press. I don't lock out on any bench press, shoulder press, anything like that. I keep that muscle under tension.
Yeah. The only thing I tend to lock out on occasionally is like if I'm doing triceps or something, like a push down type thing or something.
Yeah. There's still tension, I would say, at the bottom of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's about the only thing I really lock out on, because I used to lock out on legs and everything, and I used to get a lot of knee pain from it, and it was just too, I don't know, like you take the tension off completely. Like if you're squatting and you stay in that, you know, that tension type, you know, like without locking out, but, you know, squeezing your legs still, then it just seems to be a lot more effective.
I absolutely agree. It's the number one thing I do to PT clients when they first come to me for legs, is I do not allow them to lock out. And generally it destroys them. I think the vast majority of people, if left to their own devices, will have little lockouts, which are just little breathers to help them get through the set. It does allow you to push out a few more reps. It allows a tension to come off the muscle, and when the tension comes off the muscle, you can get a little bit more blood flow and clear lactic acid. People don't realize that muscular tension causes occlusion and traps the blood and the waste product in there. So it just hurts a hell of a lot more to keep that muscle under tension, and I think it's really advantageous. So, yeah, I strongly discourage the lockout unless you've got a specific strength-based reason to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the way Ronnie Coleman used to squat. He used to, you know, go, you know, a fair way from locking out. And you look how, what's his name? Jason Ha, he trains. He doesn't lock out on anything. Like, doesn't go close to locking out or anything. He literally does, like, these short type movements, and they're far from lockouts, and he's freaking enormous. So that kind of tells you something in itself.
Yep.
But Scotty, that's it for our segments this week. I encourage everyone to stay tuned for our, you know, interviews of a week and stuff like that. But Scotty, for you this week, that's it.
Thermal burn protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training, knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week, I'm joined by 20-year-old up-and-coming men's physique star, James Kahn. James, welcome to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Mate, Xavier, good to be here.
It's good to have you on. Now, I saw you compete, I think it was in the Australasians, and did you do the West Sydney comp, or?
I didn't actually do the Western Sydney. I was prepping for Tahiti back then. But yeah, yeah. No, I did the Australasians.
And then, so you did Tahiti as well, obviously?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, so what was that experience like? I mean, like, I heard from, like, you know, Anthony Ruthless, and I heard from Sarah Allen and all those people, but it was, like, pretty crazy. Like, these people were, like, the fans and stuff were treating you kind of like celebrities.
Look, it was an absolutely awesome comp. For me, it was my first international show, and to actually go out and be in Tahiti was absolutely insane. And then, yeah, the fans were crazy. It was definitely a celebrity status over there. And it took us literally half an hour to get from the stage to the door just by taking photos and whatnot and meeting and greeting. So it was an absolutely awesome experience.
That's crazy. Absolutely insane. But you obviously, I mentioned you did the Australasians. Now, what comps have you done before then?
Before Australasians, I did the smaller comps. I started off my first comp, IMBA New South Wales titles. I actually won that one, and I was competing in, the physique division there as well. And then went to AMB that was end of 2012, AMB Nationals, and I got 7th place, I think it was. And Australasians was my third comp.
Yep, so that's when you went into the IFBB and decided that's kind of what you wanted to do in this federation. But, like, what kind of, I mean, have you made big changes since those first comps, or has it just kind of been just a natural progression?
Well, look, yeah, I guess it has been a natural progression. You know, I'm still young, I'm still developing, so my physique's always changing. But look, I'm just trying to pretty well just put on as much size as I can, and to try and compete with the bigger boys of IFBB, because obviously it's a big step up from the IMBA and AMB comps to the IFBB.
Yeah, definitely. Now, like, what got you into training? Were you training before this whole physique thing came around, or is physique kind of the impetus to? Is that what kind of got you into training?
Well, I actually started training for rugby. I was kind of a smaller guy, I guess, and I was trying to compete in, the first grade sides, and in order to do so, I had to put on a bit of size. So I started training there, And then I eventually got picked up by Jess Murphy, who trains with Clean Health. And she told me I should do a comp. And so between her and Rawdon Dubois, I started training for the IMBA titles. And then, yeah, just naturally progressed into physique from there.
Yeah. Did you ever look at doing, like, bodybuilding? Or, like, was physique the class that they kind of said you should do and you just kind of went with it?
Well, you know, my physique's still developing. I'm a bit of a taller guy, so I have to put on a lot more mass before I can actually compete well in bodybuilding. But I'll definitely want to do bodybuilding one day, probably under 100s or around there when I get to that size. But for now, physique's the thing for me. You know, I've got ages to do it. I've got another 20 years of bodybuilding left in me, so I've got plenty of time to move up into bodybuilding.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you obviously mentioned you do want to move into bodybuilding, but you're going to the Arnold Classic Amateur Contest, which is in Columbus, Ohio, and that's only, like, what, 3.5 weeks away or something now, like, something crazy like that. So, I mean, it's not far away until you compete in a comp where you could potentially, you know, win your pro card. And obviously, a week after that as well, if you win your pro card when you're away, then you're a pro. But a week after that, we have the FitX Pro Qualifier, which you're qualified to do. And, you know, obviously you got two chances there on winning a pro card. So just say, obviously, you know, everything went to plan. You won a pro card in one of those contests, which is obviously going to be no easy feat. But just say you win one of those pro cards, what would you do then? Would you stay in physique? Was that something you'd want to do long term? And or would you still want to kind of move up into bodybuilding maybe after you do physique for a while?
Well, look, mate, that's changed the ball game completely, you know. Look, for now, obviously, I want to get the pro card. The physique pro card's my number one goal. But however, if I keep growing and I maybe grow out of the physique shape or whatnot as my body changes, then yeah, I'll definitely have to look in a different direction. But for now, in the end of the day, the physique pro card's my first goal, and that's absolutely what I want. And then from there on, I don't get to the Olympia, of course, as everybody else wants to do.
Yeah, for sure. Now you're studying medical science at the moment. Now, how do you balance that with competing? Like, is that rough?
Not at all, actually. I find that the two balance themselves out. You know, if you spend your whole life competing or your whole life studying, you tend to burn out and you don't have any balance, and it's just your whole life's a bit of a mess. But I find that by combining the two, I use my brain and my body at the same time, and I find it works a lot better for me. I'm in my preps where I'm studying and training, I find it's a lot easier, actually, so... No, it's definitely, it's fine. It's I don't struggle with it at all.
What do you want to do that degree when you finish?
Well, I actually want to move on into medicine and then further on to orthopedics. So the end goal there is to become an orthopedic surgeon, specialising in wrists and whatnot. But yeah, look, that's a long time away. So I've got to first get through medical science and then probably a master's of physiotherapy. Or strength and conditioning, and then go into medicine, then into orthopedics. So it's a lot of study ahead of me.
Yeah, you got the right idea, though. Going into, like, a specialist type job, you can always get a bit more money, so it's smart.
Of course. Always helps when it's your passion, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, definitely. And that's the same thing I tell a lot of people. If you're not passionate about what you do, you know what I mean, you're never going to, you know, succeed in it. You're never going to really enjoy it. So if you don't enjoy your job, it's kind of like something that you do, you know, most of a week, that's what you're doing, most of a week, and if you don't enjoy it, then you're not really enjoying life, I guess.
100%.
Now, do you ever get any, like, negative-type comments in terms of, like, competing in physique? Because there's always, like, those, you know, old-school bodybuilders that don't like physique because they just like the, you know, the bodybuilding contest, and they don't like bikini, they don't like physique and stuff like that. Do you ever get any of that negative stuff, or is this just stuff that kind of people post on Facebook every now and then or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't really pay much attention to it, you know. Like, if they want to be negative about it, that's their choice. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. I love physique. I reckon the physique guys work incredibly hard, so there's no reason to really knock us. But, yeah, look, I'm sure there are some people that feel negatively about it, but it doesn't really bother me, yeah, because I enjoy doing it, and that's the reason why I compete in physique, because I enjoy it.
Exactly. That's definitely the right attitude to have. I mean... There are so many people that are negative about bodybuilding as well outside of bodybuilding, not so much in the industry, but the bodybuilding classes, you know, outside, people say, oh, it's gay to get up on stage and wear bodybuilding trunks and all that type of stuff, but they might actually think physique's a bit more normal because they're not wearing, like, just, you know, budgie smugglers, so maybe from the outside community you get a bit more respect.
Yeah, that's probably it. I haven't heard too many people say flattering things about wearing a G-string on stage all tanned and oiled up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, we mentioned Arnold Classic Amateur. Now, this is like, you're only 20 years old, and you're going over there to compete in one of, probably the biggest amateur bodybuilding contest in the world. That's a pretty massive feat. Like, are you nervous about that, or anything like, you know? Like, are you kind of more excited or nervous?
Look, mate, I don't see any reason really to be nervous at all. Like, in the end of the day, I got selected to go there, so obviously I'm worthy of competing in it. And going for a shot at the title there. But look, I'm just absolutely excited for the opportunity because it's going to be massive, no doubt. Yeah, as you said, it's one of the biggest amateur bodybuilding contests, if not the biggest amateur bodybuilding contest in the world. And with hundreds of people being there, I just think it's more of an opportunity than something to get nervous about, you know? In the end of the day, I'm 20 years old. There's not many other guys my age who are competing at such a level. So I just think it's an absolutely awesome opportunity to compete and get my name out there.
Exactly. I mean, are you going with a team over there, or are you just going alone?
Well, I'm going with the Australian team, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be another great experience because there's so many big names in there. So I've got a few mates such as Scott Porter who are heading over there. And look, it's going to be a great opportunity to get to meet everyone and to get to know a lot of the other top Australian bodybuilders.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, who's going over there? Who's the team? Because I know a few of the names, but I'm not sure if I know all of them.
Look, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I've become close to Scott Porter just through physique. He's the other physique guy going over there who he plays first in the short class at Nationals. And then other than that, I come to mind Neil Gardner, and that's look, I can't really tell you terribly many off the top of my head, but yeah. Look, there's gonna be a lot of big names going.
Yeah, sure. I didn't even know Neil was going that, actually, to be honest, so it's interesting. But do you follow the bodybuilding side of the sport? Like, do you like tune in and like see, you know, what's going on, you know, maybe at the Olympia and maybe even some of the smaller shows, or are you just kind of not at that stage yet?
Well, look, I do somewhat, a little bit here and there, but most of the time I'm pretty busy between my studies and my own training. So I try to keep up with it as much as I can, but you know, it's ever changing and whatnot. So look, I do to a certain extent, but not terribly much.
Yeah. Now, with your, like, all the posing and stuff for physique, I mean, obviously stage presence and the way you hold yourself and stuff on stage is incredibly important. Now, where do you get that from? Like, do you have a posing coach, or do you, like, you know, watch YouTube videos and kind of see what the IFBB top, you know, physique guys are doing? How do you, like, manage that, and how do you practice?
Look, I mean, of course I always watch the pros do it on YouTube because that's the kind of level that I'm aiming for. But other than that, look, Nathan Page has helped me out a heap, and my coach Ron Dubois has also helped me out a lot. And then a lot of it's just up to yourself to posing in the mirror. So it's all about practice, and putting the hours into posing, because you probably put as many hours into posing as what you do training, because it's, in the end of the day, physique's 50% posing, 50% training.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like, how do you train? Do you train just as any other bodybuilder would, or do you do, like, anything specific to, you know, for that physique type look? Do you train in any certain type of way to, you know, balance yourself out or anything?
Look, in the end, not really. I'm not quite up to that stage, or I feel I'm not quite up to that stage where I'm just trying to push little things. At the moment, I'm just trying to grow and really grow into my body, mature my muscles. So, obviously, well, surprisingly, I actually train legs more than any other body part, which is a bit ironic considering I wear board shorts on stage.
Yeah.
But look, mate, in the end of the day, I'm just trying to grow. So I'm luckily, like, genetically blessed to have somewhat good symmetry, and I just got to work with that and grow everything evenly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, the physique pro qualifier at FIDEX is going to be, you know, obviously it's a first. There's going to be 6 pro cards given away on that day, which is absolutely massive. Now, who's the guys you're watching out for in that comp? Like, what do you think of your competition? Like, guys like Anthony Ruthers, and obviously you mentioned your friend Scott Porter. Who do you think's, like, your kind of biggest competition, and what do you think about the guys you're competing against?
Well, look, all the guys in physique, they're great guys, and they've all got great physiques, obviously, while they're in the pro qualifier. So I think in our out of vision at the moment, we've got myself, yeah, Anthony Rufus, Scott Porter, Joe Pitt, and there's one other whose name escapes me at the moment.
It's a guy from over here in WA, Joey Wills, that's doing it as well.
Joey Wills, that's it. And look, they've all got fantastic physiques, but in the end of the day, I think it's just going to be whoever comes in best on the day, because it's really, it's an even shot. I know some people talk themselves up more than others and post about themselves more than others on Facebook, but in the end of the day, it's going to be between, it's even, it's dead split. So, look, I'm not sure. Hopefully I come away with a win, of course, but look, I think whoever looks best on the day deserves it, because everyone's got a good physique and everyone's equally deserving of the title.
Yep. Now, who do you look up to in the pro ranks? Is there any, like, one physique guy that you look up to and think, like, you know, he's got a good physique, or, you know, you've got a similar look to this person, so you can kind of aspire to that? Do you do that at all?
Well, yeah, I do somewhat. Look, Steve Cook's hard to miss, because he's such, like, a great person as well as having such a good physique, and that's definitely something I'd aspire to. And then Sadik Hadzovic's very similar.
Yeah.
So they're the two of the top physique guys. Of course, Mark Anthony, who won the Physique Olympia, he's got an insane physique as well. But definitely Steve Cook comes to mind, just because of how good of a person he is and how much of a positive influence he has upon so many people.
Are you surprised they didn't? I mean, Sadik, he was one of the favourites for the Olympia. Are you surprised he didn't do better?
Yeah, I was absolutely totally surprised. I wasn't sure what kind of look they were going for, because he's obviously got one of the best V-tapers going around. And so, yeah, I was pretty shocked that he got fourth. But, you know, the guys who placed above him, was it Matt Acton, Jeremy Blundella, I think it is, and, yeah, Mark Anthony, they've all got fantastic physiques. So I guess you can't really take it away from them.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think there's going to be something where, like the bikini division and stuff, where it's very subjective? Do you think they will kind of rotate who the Mr. Olympia, the Physique Olympia is, or do you think they might keep, you know, if obviously Mark Anthony comes in, you know, looking good again, do you think they'll kind of keep him as the face of physique?
I've no idea, actually. I guess it's so young, you can't really tell. There's no trend at all. But, yeah, look, I think hopefully they just go for the best physique on the day. Hopefully that's all it comes down to. And I guess if they're looking for the Mark Anthony type physique, then hopefully that's what they go with.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you, before we wrap it up, do you have any sponsors, or are you looking for sponsorship or anything at the moment?
I do. I'm currently looked after very well by Supplements and Macquarie University, so they've been awesome to me. They really helped me out, as well as the IFBB themselves. So, yeah, no, look, I'm very, very fortunate to have those sponsors backing me. So I've got a very good backing in them.
Yep, and now if anyone wants to contact you for any reason, do they just get you through Facebook, or do you have an email you want to put out there?
Definitely hit me up on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way, which is just James Kent. My email's james-kent@hotmail.com.
Yep, for sure. Now, James, I want to thank you for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. We'll be seeing James on stage. Hopefully we can get an update from you direct from Arnold Classic, and we'll put that up on RX Muscle Australia on how you're placing and all that kind of stuff from over there, so make sure you send me a Facebook message or anything like that when you get off stage. Make sure that's one of your first priorities.
Mate, but contact Xavier Wills, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, disregard your family and all that stuff. Just concentrate on me. mate, thanks for coming on the show. That's James Kent, 20-year-old, up-and-coming men's physique star.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Dan Wilbur and Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by Matt Legg, the Chief Scientist at ATP Science, and we're here for his 2 minutes with a scientist segment. Now, Matt, we're going to be talking about ATP's new product. It's a new pain product that's coming out very, very soon, or even by the time we put this up, it might even be out. But, talk a little bit about it. I mean, it sounds like, talking to you before this interview, it sounds like an interesting product.
Yeah, it's funny, a lot of these inventions, how they come about. This was just a product that I've been just making and using in my clinic for years. It was only after I started training with Mick Galley, the torture chamber man, that I started whipping this product back up and thinking, geez, I need a bit of pain relieving liniment. Basically what we got in it, it smells like the old locker room stuff, but, so it still fires you up like Denka Rub sort of thing. But the active ingredient, it's got high levels of capsaicin, which is a very powerful pain blocker. Initially, when it goes in, you feel the warmth as it binds into the pain receptors, but then it blocks those pain receptors, so you don't get any more pain. It takes significant pain relief within a couple of minutes. It's also got an Australian native herb in it called Kunzea, Kunzea ambigua, which is Australian native, that's a very powerful anti-inflammatory antioxidant. So what happens is we've combined the short-term quick pain relief with a slower long-term anti-inflammatory action. So what happens is you get a cumulative effect as well, where you don't need to keep using this stuff. It's brilliant for any sort of frozen shoulders or elbows, knees, that sort of thing. No problem at all there. It's actually really good for those. Very good for colds and flus, that sort of thing, if you've got a bit of chest congestion. But again, if you're competing or if you're trying to do anything like that, it's a quick way to block and relieve the pain. Really good for DOMS when you get that soreness in a couple of days after leg day. You can butter up your legs and your lower back and actually walk a little bit freer. The only bad thing about it is if, you know, a couple of times, because it is so powerful at pain relief, when you use it prior to training, you still got to remember that you probably relieve the pain. You probably still got to dodge your shoulder, you know, so not to push yourself too far. So it's probably better, again, to be using after training or just keep an eye on things, you know, because it improves your range of movement so much and blocks your pain so much, you kind of go a little bit too hard.
Yep, sure.
Luke McNally rang me up one day having a dummy spit because he had a dodgy knee. Now, what this product does is it gets really hot. When you first put it on, it's not that hot. But once you combine a bit of water to it or a bit of extra heat, you know, it starts to heat up. So Luke put it on his knees before he did a big leg session, and then finished off his session with the infrared sauna and then thought his actual leg was going to explode. Great healing results after it. So he loves it now, but I got an abusive message when he was inside the infrared sauna and thought his leg was about to explode. So don't combine. He suggests I put a warning on it, but I'm assuming there's not many people going to just do that. But yeah, so don't combine with an infrared sauna. It tends to get a bit hot.
That's funny. Now, obviously, this is something you can use not just in the gym, but also outside the gym as well, I believe.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, you'll probably find 80% of the sales will go to the elderly with arthritic pain. But you can also use it for sciatica, shingles, fish poisoning, ciguatera toxin. They're all the things I've used for it before. It's really good for gout, if anyone gets a gout. It's a really good product. It in a roll-on as well. So I put in a little roll-on device because, you know, that way you don't get it all over your hands. And
that's a good idea.
Yeah, so the roll-on actually gives you a nice little massage sort of thing as well. But, you don't want it on your eyes or on your balls.
No, definitely, definitely not. Definitely not. I think a lot of guys have done that with deep heat and stuff back in the day and playing footy or whatever. So
yeah, it was better at cricket because the guys used to have the the protector box. So we used to be able to put the anchor rub to the guys we didn't like.
that's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Good to watch. Matt,
whenabouts will this product be released? I mean, it's going to be out not too soon.
Yeah, we're getting a few orders already. We've been trickling out a few of these little trial prototype ones that we've got here now, because people that have tried it, they seem to be getting quite angry if we won't supply it to them. So we've been supplying out a few now. I think the official launch will be by the end of the month. But, you know, if people are interested, they can contact us. We'll get out some of the trial batches for them in the meantime.
Excellent. Awesome, Matt. Well,
I think it's going to be marketed as Dragon's Breath. But you know what marketing people like. We've actually trademarked the term Capzia. We have a patent on this product under the term.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we've patented this one under the term Capzia, but we'll be releasing it as Dragon's Breath. Apparently that's going to stick in people's minds and the marketing style thing, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if anyone wants to trial stuff, contact the people at ATP. You can visit their website. It's www.atpscience.com. You can see all their other products on there as well. And also follow them and like them on Instagram and Facebook. You'll find them on there too. So, Matt, that's it for our 2 Minutes with a Scientist this week. Everyone else, stay tuned for our show wrap-up with Michael Galley.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with
with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider. With over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel, Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and athletics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Dan Wilburn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm Xavier Wills, and I'm joined by Michael Galley, and we're here to wrap up the show. Now, Mick, how have we been doing this week?
Good, days. I just got back from a nice cardio walk on the beach, so I feel a little bit more refreshed. Beautiful day on the Gold Coast. Had an awesome weekend with the boys and that again, Sonny and Az, and just, pretty lazy sort of thing.
Very nice. Did you get involved in their cheat meal?
I actually didn't, mate. I met him down there. I think we spent about 3 hours laying in the sun, and they were doing a fasting period at that time. And by the time they were ready to eat, I sort of I actually had clients late Sunday afternoon, so I had to go. So I just went and had sushi with a friend of mine, and then they went off and had their epic epic cheap meal, which I think it lasts for 6 to 8 hours. Chris Thomas has got Sunny on.
It's massive. Yeah, like when you say like a fasting period, do they just not eat in the morning or?
Yeah, they go for about, I think they give them 3 to 4 hour window where there's no eating whatsoever. And then once that time comes, I think they were looking at 1 on the Sunday. Once 1 o'clock came, then they were free to eat whatever they wanted from 1 to whatever, 6 hours after that or something. And
so they don't eat all morning?
No, as far as I know, that it was a full fasting this time.
Wow. Yeah.
But that said, I think they may have got up at like 8 or 9 o'clock too, so it wasn't, you know, not like they were up at 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's the time I'm waking up every morning now, 5 or 6.
Yeah, but it seems to be working, mate. Both of them, Luke Smith turned up as well, but both of them are looking tremendous. Sonny's improvements week to week, just they fucking extend, they just amaze me.
Yeah, definitely. I saw the picture they put up and they're looking pretty nuts, and you were saying that the pictures don't really do them justice.
And you know what, pictures never really do anyone justice, but looking at that, and I thought, I mean, I was standing right next to these guys and they just blew me away with how they both looked. So I can't wait to see them on stage at FitX, mate, and I can't wait for everyone else to see them. And they've obviously put the hard yards in.
Yeah, well, it's only 5 weeks on that day, but it's 4.5 weeks now, so it's getting nice and close, and it's getting pretty exciting. But Mick, I had to put my cheat meal back at Davis Week, so I had a bit of prior engagement. And when you're dieting, you don't want to just go to something and then, you know, they might have some decent food there and stuff you'd enjoy, but you don't want to waste it on that.
You cannot waste your cheat meal.
Exactly. So I said to Holly, I was like, I'm not eating there. I'm just taking my meal and stuff like that. And I felt like that night I felt terrible. Like I actually ended up getting a bit sick and stuff. And I was crooked the night. But the next day I ate a ridiculous amount of food.
Yeah.
And I actually started early as well because I was feeling so, I don't know if I was sick or if it was like I was over depleted or what happened. But the next day I just felt terrible. I ended up starting my cheat meal about 3:30. So. It was almost like a bit of a... I was maybe inspired slightly by hearing Luke Smith's and Sonny's cheat meals and
stuff. You can't help but not hear about theirs because they post every single picture on Facebook. I love it. But did you see my... By the time I got home at night, I had my famous... And I haven't had this for a long time. The Ben & Jerry's, Nutella poured over the top of it, then M&M's. Oh.
What Ben & Jerry's ice cream do you have?
I actually got... This time I got half-baked.
That's the best one.
It's not the best one, but it's
my favourite. It's my favourite.
Oh, there you go. See, I got your favourite ice cream, not even knowing it.
Very good. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
But I actually end up watching Escape Plan, which has Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly Stallone in there. And there's actually, like, so I looked at the preview, and I thought, I haven't really heard much about it, and I'm like, this is going to be crap. But I watched it, I actually enjoyed it, man.
Yeah.
It was like, I won't give it away, but, like, Sylvester Stallone basically breaks out of prisons for a living. And he does that because, you know, he gets paid like some huge amount, like $5 million or whatever, to break out of these prisons, you know, for security reasons and stuff, like to make sure that they're not, you know, that they're basically that they're secure and stuff. And then, yeah, he gets put in a prison that's ridiculously hard to break out of. And I won't go into it too much, but it's pretty good. Like when Arnold comes into the movie, like they've got some like classic one-liners, like some like just some stuff that just you just listen to it. And like stuff when Arnold's on as well, like you just piss yourself laughing, you know what I mean? Like, you love the movie, and then Arnold says something, and you just laugh. Like,
that was their first time ever doing a movie, wasn't it?
This one?
Sorry, Expendables.
I was going to say, they've done Expendables.
That's right, but this would be the first one where they're in it all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, so Arnold comes into it probably about a third of the way through, maybe, and it's just, like, it's just classic. I loved it. Like, I mean, the rating on IMDb actually isn't too bad. It's got, like, a 6.8 or something, which is decent. But I thought, it's probably just Arnold and Sylvester Stallone fans rating it. I thought it was probably going to be shit, but I actually really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah.
That was my Saturday night and feeling bloated and all that stuff. So
happy day.
But yeah, actually, Mick, I made a mistake last week on the radio show. I said Sean Roden was with VPX right before he was basically released by VPX last year and then signed by Ronnie Coleman's Signature Series. But I was actually wrong. It was actually he's with QNT. So I just
Chris Taylor was it with them, wasn't he?
QNT?
Yeah.
He was, yeah. Well, I don't know what happened. Also, Rolly Winkler was with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was like their first main athlete, Rolly Winkler.
Yeah.
And then obviously they couldn't afford him and they let him go too, so. I don't know what happened to QNT.
No, I haven't heard anything from him at all, so maybe they've gone under as well.
Yeah, they just disappeared. But Mick, you had a little bit of interesting news that you kind of let me know about, and you said... Yeah, I got a text from you saying Flex Lewis is doing the Open Olympia, but yeah, we looked a bit more into it, and we've definitely found nothing that's confirmed about it or anything like that. It just seems to be kind of talk at the moment. But it seems like this is going to be something that happens either, you know, this year or next year. It seems kind of inevitable what it, you know, Flex is going to do, because we've heard from his trainer, Neil Hill. He's kind of telling Dave Palumbo that, you know, Flex is moving into the Open. But he said it was going to be after this year's Olympia. But this was obviously back straight after the last Olympia. And, I mean, what kind of chance do you give this of happening actually this year where he moves into the Open?
I don't know, mate. Like, we haven't confirmed it on any of the other website at this stage, but I guess it's a pretty big chance. I mean, he's got nothing left to prove. He's won the Olympia convincingly the last few years. He's more than likely going to take out the 212 Arnold Classic as well. So the next best move for him is to move up. And, man, he's young. He's so eager and keen. I think the end of the year is a pretty good possibility. And, mate, once he's got that that 212 limit off him, who knows how much more mass Flex can put on him now.
If you had to guess, like, just say going into this Olympia, we know he brings crazy conditioning, and, you know, he probably can blow up a little bit and come in around, you know, probably 220 or something, or at least 218 or something. Where would you place him? Like, just say the last Olympia just gone, would he be beating a Rami? Would he be beating a Rolly Winkler?
With how he's looking now, that's a tough call. I think I would have been putting him in the bottom part, around the 10th, 11th part. I couldn't see him beating those guys as yet. And this is only going on what I saw personally. Obviously I saw Flex on stage and I saw the other boys on stage. Rolly was exceptional. He was out of control. And Rami, even though not 100% conditioned, his size would have been too much, I'd say, for Flex at this stage. But let Flex push his weight up a bit more to around 220 to 230 with that conditioning, and anything's possible.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if he got around 230, that'd be crazy. You look at Flex and you kind of think, like, how much more muscle can he put on? But he obviously can.
He's definitely got room there, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's still holding all his proportions really well.
Yeah, I love his physique. Like, he seemed to be able to pack on muscle in the right way without doing it too crazy quick. I mean, it's been pretty quick, but without doing it, you know what I mean, like trying to do it all in 1 year. And that's what I love about it. Like, he did the Olympia. When you look at the first 202 Olympias that Flex did, he was dramatically smaller than he is now, and people kind of forget that.
It's a massive difference. Huge. When he did that first Olympia.
Yeah. We saw... did you see the Super Bowl on Monday, Mick?
I watched about the first 25, 30 minutes, and I had to go to Brisbane, mate. So by the time I got back, it was all done. But you could pretty much tell from the get-go that the Seahawks had got that one in the back.
Yeah, definitely.
It was so
and they actually had I didn't know this was actually going to be on as a Super Bowl ad, but they had the ad on with Danica Patrick, and they had Jeff Long and Arn Wynn in it. And I like the picture. Arn Wynn put up a picture of himself like next to the TV. He's like, "Yep, on a Super Bowl commercial or something like that, or whatever." Cool. But that's pretty cool. That that they were actually on the Super Bowl commercial, which is watched by tens or hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, to get an ad onto that thing, it's absolutely millions, isn't it?
Yeah, it's this year it was for a 30-second ad. Guess how much it was?
No idea.
$4 million.
For
US.
30 seconds.
For 30 seconds, and then the first minute was taken up by one of the companies. I can't remember who it was, but they took up the first minute, so they paid $8 million.
Wow, that's incredible. So
it's a massive amount of money, but you ought to think probably it's actually worth these massive companies because
clearly, otherwise no one else would be doing it at all.
But they get massive exposure from it because it's almost like a spectacle now. Like, it's not just like, oh, the ads run and the people watching it just see it, but it seems like everyone around the world kind of sees it because they watch the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, it was surprising how many people actually watch it over here. I mean, you just looked on Facebook, everyone's status is about watching the Super Bowl or who they went for. I don't know how many people actually understand the game of gridiron, but definitely a lot of people interested in it.
Yeah, I understand for the most part. But there's some things that happen, and I'm just like,
yeah, exactly the same. Still a few parts where you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. But Mick, let's launch into our greatest Olympias of all time. Now, this week we haven't done one in a while. This week we're going to do the 2009 Mr. Olympia. So this is definitely the most recent one we've done. But the 2009 Olympia was probably definitely one of my favourites. But we wanted to do kind of a more recent one so we can kind of, you know, some of the more recent bodybuilding fans, or even people that have got into it in the last year or two, can kind of catch up on it because it was such an awesome Olympia. But it was held end of September 2009 in the Orleans Arena. and you were actually there, Mick.
Mate, I was. And it, not only is this one of the best Olympias I've ever seen, but yeah, obviously going there. At this stage, I was working with managing Australian Sports Nutrition. And the best thing about that back in the day was Simon used to make this an annual trip to go to the Olympia. Now, he wasn't such a big fan as much as the bodybuilding, but it was more the expo and looking through different supplements and finding out what he could get back to the country and sell under ASN. So that was what we used to do every September. And obviously for me, the Olympia was such a highlight. I love that stuff. So to be there and to witness it, and especially witness Jay, no one had Jay winning, no one. And to see him walk out, and literally walk out, and I remember Matt's brother, Simon's brother was next to me, Matt, and I looked at Matt and went, what the fuck? Like, no one expected it. The crowd just went nuts. He was so improved from the year before where he lost his title to Dexter. It was one of those cases where he walked out and he had it.
Yeah, and it was pretty evident. Like, I remember I was in Adelaide because I was doing a competition over there, and it was the day before the comp, and I remember just... because the comp was actually, this is stupid, the comp was on the same day as the Olympia finals, so I got to watch pre-judging. And Jay walked out, and the stream was kind of mucking up a little bit and stuff like that. But then when Jay walked out, you see him walking, and I was like, kind of like, you're almost like tilting your head to try to see in front of him, like when he's walking out sideways on the computer screen, because he's so eager. And he walked out and just hit that front relaxed, and you could almost feel it, like through how happy everyone was to see him that good. Like, it was just crazy, and he did look that good. Like, he looked crazy, and it was, you could just kind of tell it was his.
I agree, mate. It was one of those moments. Jay very rarely, I mean, Jay's awesome, there's no doubt about it, but he had all the components then. He had the fullness, he was dry, he was hard, he was confident, everything was there. It was such a, man, you've got to remember, that's his hometown of Las Vegas, and even though a lot of people do write him off on the forums, mate, most of the people that write people off on the forums are idiots. They're not worth mentioning anyway. He's still got a lot of pull in Vegas. Everyone loved him. So for him to walk out and everyone saw him in that condition, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, definitely, and he definitely deserved it. I mean, he got straight first through all the rounds and stuff. But where the surprise kind of came was in second place, Branch Warren. He placed second, and... I mean, Dexter's got to be pretty annoyed because he got beaten. He was a Mr. Olympia in 2008, and he looked great again, and he loses this one by 1 point to Branch all up. So Dexter's got to be pretty annoyed, and I still think Dexter perhaps should have placed second. What do you think?
I agree. I think this, and you could tell on Dexter's face, and this hurt him for a while afterwards. Like, this was a tough pill to, tough one for him to swallow. I actually had Dexter clearly second. And I thought he was way improved than his Olympia win in 2008. But that said, Branch was also another shock. When Branch walked out, no one had ever seen Branch this granite hard before. And it was one of those things where maybe the judges just didn't know what to do with him at the time. And they've slotted him in second. But when you had him all standing there relaxed and posing, I just thought Dexter had him outclassed in, just the way he looked. Symmetrical, he was proportioned, he's better, he posed a lot better. All Branch had was the shock value of coming in better than he'd ever been before.
Yeah. And from second to fifth, the scorecard shows it was pretty close. Like, there was, Branch had 46 points. Jay was obviously on 15 points because he got straight first. But Branch had 46, and then Phil Heath had 55. So that was, really close between there. And, there's 1 point between Kai and Phil, and 1 point, obviously, between Dexter and Branch. But it's kind of interesting, in prejudging, Dexter got straight seconds. So everyone had Dexter in second in prejudging. And then in third round, Branch won that by 2 points against Dexter. And then in round number four, which is like the pose down and stuff, Branch won by 5 points against Dexter. So it was that last round that basically knocked Dexter out of there and got Branch the second place spot. But it's actually interesting, Kai Greene and Dexter both beat Branch at prejudging.
Yeah, so, it's interesting. Well, prejudging is where it counts, isn't it? If you win symmetry in the muscularity rounds, well, clearly you're the better bodybuilder.
Yeah. I mean, if we saw the scorecards after prejudging and saw Branch was in fourth, you'd say, okay, well, he's definitely not placing second,
Exactly.
But obviously he did. But, so this was the one where Phil Heath, he actually equaled Branch in the last round on 14 points. And Phil was actually, this is the year he had the food poisoning issue. So he was, at prejudging, he did finish fifth, where he actually ended up finishing. But it was quite clear between I mean, it was a clear top five. So he finished fifth there, and then his scores dramatically improved in the next two rounds. But, yeah, he looked quite good at the finals, but he definitely wasn't kind of himself.
Nah, and this was... Phil did a DVD leading up to this comp, and it plays it out pretty well when he got his food poisoning, which was right before the pre-judging, the day before. Like I said, everyone in the audience, no one had any idea, except for obviously his close-knit crew, what had happened to him. So when Phil walked out, and you got to remember, he got third the year before in 2008 and looked sensational. Everyone was thinking putting Phil as a possible contender. So when Phil walked out and clearly flat and off, I mean, we were sitting there because none of us, like I said, none of us knew. So I'm like, fuck, what's happened? You know, has he mucked up the last few weeks or whatever? After prejudging, word slowly got out. And I remember we were sitting at dinner later on that night, and we were told about what had happened with his food poisoning. By the next day, because they split prejudging up one day, finals the next. By the next night for the finals, he was dramatically improved. He looked a lot fuller. His face looked... I mean, he looked sick at the prejudging. He really looked sick. So in 24 hours later, there was a marked difference. But by that stage, it was all done and dusted at the prejudging.
Yeah, for sure. And Victor Martinez finishes in sixth place here. Actually, we should probably touch on Kai Greene a bit. Kai, he finishes in fourth here. I mean, there's so many times where Kai, if you say, look, if he's just a bit better, he would have been right up there if he was just that bit, a little bit sharper and stuff, and he's almost, frustrating at the Olympia, where, he's not far off a lot of the time, and, this Olympia just gone, the 2013 Olympia, if he was just a bit harder, he could have won.
Yeah, well, I think this one here, because he'd won the Arnold Classic, the 2009 Arnold Classic, only a few months previous. And he looked exceptional in that one. Some say that's almost like his best combination of size and conditioning. By the time the Olympia came around, he was a fair bit smaller and softer. Still looked incredible, but there was a big difference between how he looked at the Arnold Classic and then how he looked at the 09 Olympia.
Yeah. In, obviously, sixth, Victor Martinez. I mean, Victor looked good here, but obviously he wasn't at his, all-time best where he's going to challenge, the top guys, really.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, he still looked unreal. He's got those such full muscle bellies, and he was in good enough condition where you're always going to slot him in the top eight, I thought, when we were first there. It was just a matter of which position. But, yeah, for Victor, I think he was pretty stoked to be in the top six.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Ronnie Raquel, this was a massive placing for him. I remember when it happened. Was this his highest placing?
Oh, man, I was just trying to go through that before. I think he had a couple of good years.
What did he get, sixth?
I think he did, yeah. I think that might have been 2008, was it? Yeah,
I think 2008 he got sixth, and then he dropped one place to seventh, yeah.
He had two good years in the Olympia, and this was his second good year coming in seventh, which is pretty awesome for someone like Ronnie Raquel. He dropped off, I think maybe age and competing so much has caught up with him after this one. He sort of placings went down a bit, but he did look good. His condition... He was always coming in, he had that really beautiful shape, tight little waist, really nice cap delts, flared quads, but he lacked that conditioning. And he really did bring it in this comp in the year before and really stood out.
Yeah, definitely. And in eighth, we had Tony Freeman. Oh, not the best Tony we've ever seen, but he still looked good.
Yeah, Tony's a consistent top 10 Olympian, isn't he?
Obviously apart from now,
in this stage, he was really nailing that, seventh, eighth, ninth. He'd always consistently be around then. Tony looked good. He pretty much brought what he always did. He had the basic size for him. He had the conditioning. He just had that symmetrical look. So pretty much, Tony just pretty much brought what he brought the past previous years.
Yep. Now we had, this was kind of a surprise. We had two smaller guys in the top 10. We had Hidetada Yamagishi from Japan, and then we had Moe Masaui, the New Zealander. Now, this was these guys were 1 point apart, and then there's 1 point. 1 point behind them was Melvin Anthony and Silvio Samuel. So it was 102 points to Hide, 103 to Mo, and then Melvin and Silvio finished just outside the top 10 on 104 points. So it was really stacked around that top 10. And, do you think it was deserving that these guys both placed in the top 10?
I remember this. I actually had Melvin in ninth. And then I slotted Hide and Moe down one as well. I don't think he deserved 10th, to be honest with you. That was a pretty big gift for him. Hide did look really good, But I think, and you know how Melvin Anthony looks. Melvin, even though he was a little bit off, he's just got such beautiful shape.
Yeah.
Poses incredibly. I had him up in ninth. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember when Melvin came out to Australia. He was just so good to watch posing. Yeah. Like, it's just, he's just insane.
Incredible.
What did you think of Silvio? I mean, like, in terms of this comp, and also in terms of, like, Silvio as a bodybuilder full stop, like, what did you think of his physique?
Silvio was actually pretty good. He's also a guy you had to see in real life, because in photos, you could sort of, he did have a long torso and longer sort of arms and legs, which in photos or even DVDs, he did throw it off a bit, and he did have a bit of a distended stomach, even though his stomach was tight as, and you could see obliques and intercostals, you know, back like Sean Ray and Robbie Robinson used to have. He still had that distension, but I got to see Silvio training golds quite a few times, and trust me, mate, he is impressive. And he brought that really lean, crisp conditioning. Yeah. Unfortunately, Silvio's in jail at the moment and won't be competing, I don't think, ever again. But he did have a pretty good run there for about 3 years, if I remember correctly, which he did win the Ironman.
Yep.
And he did place quite highly in a couple of other major comps. So, yeah, he did do all right.
How long did Silvio get put away for? I remember he's like, you know, violence against his partner, I think it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think because he had a couple of prior convictions as well, they were pretty harsh with him.
Yeah.
I can't remember the amount, but it was quite a few years.
Yeah. I remember he did go to jail once, and then he got out, and then, or he got put in custody or something like that, and then he got out, but... Yeah, I don't think he'll be coming back to a bodybuilding stage, not anytime soon.
No, and age-wise too, even if he gets out, it's going to be one of those things, he's going to be fighting an uphill battle.
Exactly. Now, we've got some really top guys after this, like, I mean, guys that have massive careers. We've got Gustavo Bedell in 13th, we've got Dennis James in 14th, and we've got Marcus Rule in 15th. I mean, some of these guys obviously have to be disappointed with, you know, placing on the, you know, the outskirts of the top, you know, 15. But what did you think of these guys? Was it just the fact that all these guys were just a bit off?
Mate, yeah, I think Gustavo by this stage is well and truly out. You've got to remember, this is a guy who placed third in the Olympia two times in a row. So he's, you know, he was a great bodybuilder. He's placed top three at the Arnold. He's won the Ironman. He's won quite a few numerous pro shows. Funny enough, I was speaking to Gustavo. It would have been about 4 days before the Olympia. And me and Simon were training in, it's now closed, it's the Gold's Gym. It was a 24-hour goals gym just out of Vegas. And Gustavo was in there doing a late session. And I didn't think, you know, we were training next to him and we just said one word to him. I thought he'd be too focused or whatever. But he actually took time out to sit there with us. And we all kept training, but he just kept on talking about. And you could tell that real win at all costs with what you need to sort of get by in this sport. That was gone. And he seemed pretty, you know, it didn't seem to faze him, and it was more something he was just doing because he enjoyed doing it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's not a bad thing, you know, I mean, people see that as like, oh, it's a terrible kind of thing, but it's not necessarily bad.
It happens to, you know what, it happens to every sports person in any sport. It eventually it does happen.
Yeah.
And he seemed to have dealt with it, well, from what I could tell with that conversation, he seemed to deal with it quite well.
Yeah, definitely. We've got some names down in the list that I kind of want to just touch on and talk about, like a bit of their kind of career and stuff. But we've got, obviously, you know, we've got some guys that have retired now. This is only 2009, so it's not long ago. We'll go through, like, some of the guys that have retired. We've got, basically, from the top, I mean, a lot of those guys are still there, but Jay, we can pretty much say he's retired.
Yeah.
We've got Ronnie Raquel. He hasn't competed in quite a while. I don't know if he's retired or not, but... We've got Mo Masawi, who hasn't competed in quite some time. Yep. I don't know if he's retired. Melvin, we've got Silvio, we've got Gustavo, Dennis James, you know, he's kind of announced his retirement, but apparently he's getting big again now. We've got Marcus Rule, we've got Troy Alves, who announced it the other day, Darren Charles, Ahmed Haidar, we've got, who else is
Joel
there?
Joel Stubbs. Yep.
Yeah, I think he's retired. We've got Bill Wilmore, he's still going.
Yep.
And then in last place, we've got Dennis Wolf. This was, I think, Dennis's first Olympia. And I thought he could have actually been...
No. It, 2008, remember, that was his breakout year.
That's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Fourth or fifth in his first ever Olympia. This is why it was such a shock to everyone.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking about the 2006 Olympia, where he was his first Olympian place last. But, yeah, he was off. Like, I remember he said he was going to come in fuller and all this stuff, and... He was just flat out off, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's this was almost as shocking as when Jay walked out and you were like, what the fuck? And then when Dennis walked out, and we're not talking Xavier. Like, obviously, Dennis Wolf is placed last. He came fourth or fifth in 2008. There's a big difference between fourth and fifth and then last. And you could.
Has it ever happened? Like, has there ever been a guy that's placed top five and then finished last?
I don't think any. I don't know, mate. I was racking my brain with that before when I was going through these placings. But he was. You could clearly see him on stage. Like, I was right up front. You could clearly see how upset he was. He was frustrated as hell because they didn't call him out. And justifiably, they didn't call him out for a long time. And when they did, he knew he was off. And he didn't pose well. He just looked beaten.
Yeah, exactly. And it was almost upsetting to see because he was one of the... I remember seeing an interview like the day before and he's saying, oh, he's going to be fuller this year and all this stuff. And he obviously thought he was going to be good. You know what I mean? Like, he probably had people in his corner telling him, you know, well, you look great. And
this was... Remember he did his prep with Chad Nichols?
Yeah, the year prior?
No. This was the year.
I thought he did his prep with...
Now I could be mistaken. I hope I haven't mucked this up. He definitely did his prep separately with someone for 2008. Now, do you remember it was either this comp or the 2010 where he mucked up again and he said he was done with prep coaches. That was it.
I remember when he did work with Chad Nichols 1 year, Chad and him depleted a lot and they said they was going to try to be the hardest and craziest. You know, they depleted too much. And yeah. I think Dennis was really hard and he came about fourth or fifth or somewhere around there.
Yep.
But they said they depleted him too much and he looked flat. So
yeah, okay. Well,
that was one. Maybe he did with Chad 2 years. Maybe this is the first. And then the next year he was too flat. I can't remember. But
I'll brush up on this because I hope we don't want to muck the listeners around. But we should know this stuff, Zaze.
Yeah, we should.
I'll brush up on this and find out during the week definitely, and we'll touch on this next week.
Do you remember hearing the story about Chad Nichols went on Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave and Matt? It was probably. I don't know when it was, but I was talking about one of the Olympians that he worked with. I don't know if this was this one or if it was another one, but Dennis Wolf was obsessed with being full. I think it must have been this one. I think he worked with Chad for two, maybe, and he's obsessed with being full. And maybe the year before was the year he's too flat, and he worked with Chad, and then he wanted to be full on this one, but he was obsessed with being full, and he said that his wife made these cookies or something. And he said he had to eat heaps of the cookies, and apparently he just kept eating them and eating them and eating them and wouldn't stop. So,
Hey, it's funny. I'll tell you a funny story of what I did once. I'm the sort of guy, I'll try new things every comp because I want to see what works. Now, I won't mention names, and this is quite a while ago. I had a guy looking after me, and he was a very, very well-known former Mr. Universe, et cetera, et cetera. So I listened to what he had to say, and believe me, he did know a lot, and he did get me into great shape until the last day, the day before. He had me eating, I hope you definitely listen to this and text me, peaches and cream every 2 hours, which is weird and random. And I know my body, and my body does not go well with simple sugars. Anyway, needless to say, the next day I was quite smooth. But there are some weird ways of doing things out there.
Definitely. And obviously it works for some people. I mean,
exactly.
I remember hearing Justin Vergara apparently eats like, you know, a cheesecake or something like backstage at comps and stuff.
I have seen... some top names. Logan Robinson, for one. His conditioning at FedEx was insane. There's no doubt about it. And the conditioning, Logan always comes in condition. There's no question. It's just sometimes he's up against guys that might be a little bit better. And he's been known to eat either a whole or a half a cheesecake backstage. Now, if I was to do that, seriously, simple sugars ruin me so fast, but I'd have a mental breakdown as well from too much sugar.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, whereas Logan, just his body sucks it up, and it's amazing to watch. You just sit back going, holy shit.
Yeah, it's incredible. Some people they're able to do that.
Yeah.
Just insane. Does my head in, so I don't understand it.
I've learnt some serious lessons. But hey, Toucher, are we talking any more about that Olympia?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to talk a bit more about it?
Do you want a funny story to go with that Olympia?
Yes, I do.
You like my funny stories, don't you?
I do. I do.
And it just so happens that... Did you watch the UFC 169? That was
No, I didn't.
It's the heavyweight match between Overeem and Frank Mir.
Who won that?
Well, Frank Mir got his head knocked in again. No, I shouldn't say that, but what's funny about this situation, and now, mate of mine, Simon Reese, we all know owns ASN, he was over in Thailand over summer, and Overeem was over there training where Simon was, and Simon was texting me going, Frank Mir is going to get his head kicked in. Now, why I find this funny is because back in that 2009 Olympia, you've heard of the company called Nutribolics?
Yes, yeah.
Well, they were one of the companies we first started importing. Now, Rodney, who owns Nutribolics, we became quite good friends. He would always look after us with VIP tickets wherever we went. And one was, it's a pool party called Rehab, which is at the Hard Rock Cafe. The most out-of-control pool party I've ever been to in my life, ever. So Nutribolics pay for a massive cabana up the top, and all their athletes come, and they've got a massive, massive spectrum of athletes at the moment. And this just time just happened to be Frank Mir. Now, I was Zabe, you know me, just minding my own business, you know, just chilling out. And he's there with his wife, and his wife was quite attractive, and I'd had quite a few drinks. And I just said something to Frank, my memory's shit, but it was something along the lines of, how do you think you're going to go in your next fight, Frank? And Frank's response to me was quite rude, quite abrupt, and just downright didn't need to be said, to be honest with you. And me being me, didn't take too kindly to that and said a few words back that got him fired up. And all I remember was Simon's brother, Matt, putting his hand on my shoulder and saying, oh, Mick, just shut the fuck up. a few other words went. And luckily, Rodney came in and calmed everyone down. And at that time, I'm thinking in my head, oh, fuck, that could have really hurt.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's face it. At the end of the day, he's a pretty fucking awesome UFC fighter. Or was at that stage. I think he might have been the heavyweight champion at that stage. And he's about 6'4", and I'm 5'5", if I'm lucky. And I'd had quite a few vodkas, and he didn't. So let's, you know, we could also see the outcome of this straight away. So that from that moment on, I thought, you know what? I don't like Frank. Frank's rude. and that, ironically, was the start of Frank's fucking downfall.
Exactly. It must have played on his mind so much that he just...
Oh, it was just so... One of, you know those real arrogant, rude people?
Yeah.
It just didn't... What he said, it just didn't need to be said. And everyone was in the party. It was sort of like, after it went, everything stopped, everyone was like, okay, well, fuck with it. You didn't need to say that. So I sort of played the real... sort of pity roll for a while, going, oh,
the victim.
I feel really hurt. I looked up to Frank for years.
That's awesome.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so there you go. There's my little funny story about the 2009 Olympia.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention one more guy, just quickly, Joel Stubbs. Now, I love Joel. Like, just, he seemed like, he came out to Australia, and when he was out here, he just seemed like a genuinely nice, humble guy. Like, he's one of the guys that just, you know, very, very likable, and, he's one of the guys that trained under Milos for a fair while, and he's always, you know, he always have a knock on him for his legs, like his quads, especially his quads. His hamstrings were fine to me, but his quads just didn't seem to come up at all much, and they just didn't seem to grow much at all. But he had probably the best back, or one of the best backs of all time. Like, it was just absolutely insane.
His back was incredible. I think they posted a photo ages ago. No one had really heard too much about Joel Stubbs, and they put a picture from behind, and they just said, who is this freak? And they put
it was on the front page of Flex Magazine.
Yeah, it was insane. I don't know, man. That, it just hangs, doesn't it? Like, the muscle just hangs. It's incredible. If every body part he had was, you know, that well developed, he would be unbeatable.
Yeah, it was just crazy. Like, it was just so wide. And when he competed in Australia too, everyone was so excited for him to turn around to the back.
Yeah, exactly. He was like Tom Platz with legs. You know, everyone wanted to see Platz flex his legs. With Joel Stubbs, you wanted to see that lat spread.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that with anyone, like, in terms of, like, you know, a body part like back. Like,
nah, that's that was nuts. And apparently he wasn't just a genetically gifted body part. He trained hard for it, but he also trained really heavy as well. He wasn't someone who just went in and mucked around weights.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone all out for it. So, but yeah, like you said, we haven't heard from him. And I think he was early 40s, though, at this Olympia.
Yeah, so he's obviously getting on a bit now, so...
So
I don't know if we'll ever see him on a pro stage again.
Yeah, but you can tell, obviously, early 40s, the genetics. Because where was he from? He in the West Indies.
He was a pilot as well.
Yeah, and these guys, fucking, their genetics, their skin. You look at guys like Vince Taylor, all these older black guys. Their skin has such a different look to it. It just remains tight. It doesn't get loose.
Yeah, I know. They got good genetics for stuff like that. So
yeah, I don't know what. Oh, speaking of that, it's fighter pilot. It's just an airplane captain. Did you watch Castaway the other day?
No.
That just popped on my head. Have you seen Castaway?
I think I remember seeing it ages ago, or a bit of it. Yeah, I can't really remember it though. It's like yeah.
Oh, that's weird. It just popped in my head.
Okay, I thought he's going somewhere with that, but
I was going nowhere with it.
Oh dear.
Anyway.
Now FedEx is obviously 4.5 weeks away now. Not long at all, which is like in some respects in my head it's a little bit worrying. In some respects it's a bit exciting to get it almost get it done with at this point. But we've obviously talked a lot about pro qualifier classes, but we've touched on a lot of the big names a lot. So I want to kind of talk about who could be some shocks at FedEx 2014. And I'll start with just a few people that I've written down and kind of people that maybe, we've talked about before, but some people might go under the radar a little bit, or they might just shock people. Now, I want to start in the physique, men's physique. Now, there's a guy over here called Joey Wills, and he did the Perth comp, and he didn't place in October. And I thought he was going to win. And there's a lineup of about 30 guys, and I was surprised. And he went to Nationals, and I think he might have got second or something in his class. And he's a guy that has a really good physique, and he didn't really do any posing practice or anything before and all that type of stuff. So I think he's going to dramatically improve. So he's one guy in the pro qualifier that I think could do quite well or place quite high. And another one from over here as well, Mick, in bikini, who kind of, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's because she's over here or what it is, but Ebony Quince, she won at the Nationals, and I think it was an open short in bikini, and she looks absolutely sensational. I don't know if you've seen her, Mick.
No, I haven't, no.
She looks awesome. So she's going to be like, she's going to be one of the girls that people are going to look at and say, oh, maybe she should win. So
yeah.
But Mick, do you have anyone on your list? I've got a heap more, but
yeah, we were going through it before. I mean, unfortunately, because I guess it's wherever you're going to be with who your mates are. Like, I mean, I always talk about the boys up here I know doing it, like Luke and Sonny and Aaron and that, and it's hard because I'm sure there's a lot of other guys out there doing it in the weight classes or the pro qualifier that we don't know about or we don't give enough time to because, we don't know what they're up to.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
Exactly.
So if anyone's listening out there that is doing these comps, even in the amateur section, mate, feel free to drop either me or Xavier an inbox on Facebook and let us know how you're travelling. Send a photo if you want. And, mate, we'd love to know more about the people competing so we can talk it up in the last few weeks before FedEx. So, honestly,
exactly.
Yeah, feel free to inbox us.
I mean, obviously, it doesn't guarantee that we're going to mention you on the show, but obviously, we'll be able to recognise you and stuff like that. And,
yep.
if you're the standard where we think you should be mentioned on the show,
yeah.
Then we'll mention you and you'll get some free exposure. So,
yeah, thanks.
Makes sense. But, and it's not a cocky thing to send us through a photo and, what you're doing and what you're up to. Like, we want to know this stuff, so. Yep.
You're like me, Zay. I love this sort of stuff. It's always good to see who's out there, who's up and coming, or who's making a comeback, who's bringing in their best ever conditions. There are a couple of guys I forgot about, and this is funny. David Cutler's training partner, Shane Rolls. Now, Shane was responsible for helping me tee it up with Dave, because obviously Dave's a very quiet person. Shane's throwing his hat into the rink now. This is his first ever time, and he's either thinking about novice or the Masters at FedEx, but guaranteed under David Cutler's training and obviously all his knowledge over the years, I've got no doubt Shane's going to come in great shape.
Yep.
Awesome. Just the guys I know personally that we touch about, obviously Aaron. Now, Aaron, it's still up in the air, mate, whether he's going to get down to under 80. I would suggest, and this is no knock on Aaron at all, I would suggest he got down to under 80 and weighed in right on that 79-80 mark and then maybe ate up for another kilo or two. I just think that's his best chance at this stage as an under 80 competitor. I look at the under 90s, I see Sonny, without knowing too many other guys in it, I see Sonny as a very, very firm top two placing at this stage because this will be Sonny's best ever condition. He's looking ridiculous, and I don't say this in any biased way whatsoever. I say it from a guy sitting back if I was judging the comp. He doesn't lack anything. His head is screwed on so well. And what impressed me on Sunday was I was talking to a guy that I didn't think was dieting for a comp. He was switched on. He was happy. He's in a good place right now. So I think at this stage, some other guys that might be with him is that Dominic Selwig. Is that right? Selwig?
I don't know.
And possibly Dwayne. He could be a...
Dwayne Hill, yes. Yeah. Dwayne Hill is doing... I think Dwayne's going to be... I don't know if he's going to be under 90 or what he's going to be, but Dwayne is looking very, very good. He put a photo of his legs up the other day, and I was pretty well blown away. And yeah, he wasn't going to do FedEx because he's worried about financial stuff and all that. But he's doing FedEx and Australasians now. So
yeah, well, sweet. Yeah, well, if they're in the under 90s together, that's going to be one cracker of a class, mate. I can't wait for that. And I hear big news about Michael Mara's Classic, the O'Meara Classic.
Mate, it's going to be absolutely enormous. Like with he's got basically a pro show venue. Like that's the quality of it. It's got going to be 2,000 seated, basically seated seats for finals.
Yep.
It's at the Perth Convention Centre, so it's absolutely crazy. I forget all the stuff that Mike tells me about it, but there's like, you know, they're having like the whole thing booked out, and they've got all outside there as well, and they're going to have basically CrossFit stuff out there. They've got like what else? They've got heaps of stuff going on though. Like it's just going to be absolutely enormous. And they've got like, you know, they've got Branch Warren coming over to guest pose. They've got Aaron Stern, Amanda Doherty. They've got Larissa Reese, who's actually going to be in Perth for like a week doing like training some people and stuff like that. Yep. And Aaron Stern has a seminar the next day. I'm not sure if Amanda's doing that as well. But Aaron Stern definitely has a seminar the next day, and some of these girls will be guest posing, and it's going to be awesome. So, you can't really beat that. So I'm very, very excited for the O'Meara Classic, and the fact that I'm competing in it as well is massive, because obviously, you know, the October shows are normally the bigger shows in terms of, you know, like state shows. But, I mean, this year, it sounds like it's going to be the biggest O'Meara Classic probably ever. Because it's going to be bigger than October, and also... It's a national contest, so people that want to compete in it, you know what I mean? You don't have to be from Perth, and people kind of forget that, I think.
Yeah. I did one of my shows back in 2009, and I think we may have talked this before, when he had the Elite Show with Nick Jones and Neil Gardner and Warren Clampett. There was quite a few good guys in the lineup, and, well, I know Nick touched on it when you interviewed him before, but Mike, he looked after us so well, and I remember that night of the comp, and I don't know, he came and saw me and a couple others. He needed three girls and three guys from that comp. Now it was in the main street where the clubs are in Perth. I don't know the name of it.
That'd be Northbridge, probably.
Northbridge, that's it. Yeah, and he took us to a strip club, and we were to go out on stage and pose in shorts, thank God, in front of the audience. Which at the time I thought, you know what, Mike's, you know, he's looked after us, so I'll do the right. Because apparently the strip club had sponsored the show. They'd put in a fair bit of cash.
They sponsor the show every year.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. All right. Awesome. So we went there and backstage, and now backstage I was fine. There was girls everywhere. I was happy as, you know, hippie in shape, felt good about myself. But when I went out on stage, I realised that there's 90% guys here and maybe a couple of women. And
they probably don't want to see that.
And that's what I thought. I thought, these guys really don't want to see me posing weird on stage when there's girls backstage that they want to see undressed and naked. So, we did what we had to do, and then, I went back to the hotel.
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you, Mike. I love that.
Thank you for embarrassing me that night.
I just want to mention off some of the names that that I think are kind of gone under the radar, or I think they'll shock people. So I just want to mention in the 212 Pro Qualifier, Adam Browner and Peter Wall. I think they could surprise some people, because, I mean, Peter Wall, no one's really talked about him too much, so he could come out of a woodwork. I don't know how he's looking or anything. Adam Brown, it looks like he's added lots of size, you know what I mean, just from the little pictures that he's posted up on Facebook of, you know, his legs in skins and all that stuff. If he comes in condition, then he's going to be tough to beat in that 212 class. Under 90s, Sonny. We talk about Sonny a lot, but I think he's going to shock people no matter what. Aaron. I think Aaron, like, he shocked me last year, and I think he's going to shock me again, because he looks like he's added some solid muscle to his frame, and last year he just looked packed with muscle. So,
I think you wait till this year, mate.
Once he gets on stage, I think he just comes alive, because he surprised me how thick he was last year.
The best thing about Aaron, mate, this year is, even though last year, did you notice his posing? I mean, first comp, it's going to happen. Posing wasn't up to scratch, you know, a little bit nervous, stuff like that. He's been getting posing practice every week.
Yep.
He poses, then on top of that, he poses himself after every comp in the mirrors at World Gym.
After every workout, you mean?
Yeah, after every workout. What do I say?
Every comp.
Fuck, I'm going hypoglycemic, no food.
Yeah, no, I need to eat something too.
that'll be the standout.
I want to mention in the Open Pro Qualifier, also Gretchy. I think Gretchy could shock some people as well if he brings
Saturday night.
How's he looking in terms of...
He looked very, very full and very, very round.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he looks like.
Mm. That's so much I've got to see, though. I didn't train with him at all. I was up here. I just had dinner. That was the only time I caught up with him.
Yep. Chris Jenkins and Andy Crawford. I think these two in the men's pro qualifier could surprise some people because no one's talking about Jenkins. And he looked very, very good at nationals from pitchers. And Andy Crawford is over training with Dennis James in Arizona. So
Andy posted a photo a couple of days ago of him doing a side chest.
I posted that.
Sorry.
It was posted by Dennis James, actually.
Yep.
And Dennis James said, Andy Crawford is 5 weeks out of a pro qualifier at FedEx, blah, blah, blah. That's actually not him 5 weeks out now. That was him last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because his wife actually contacted me and said, that was actually from last year. So I mentioned at the start of the show that I made that mistake. But the way Dennis James posted it made it really sound like it was an updated picture. But
I thought.
So, yeah, I reposted that. But, yeah, that was actually from last year. And she said the changes since then are dramatic.
Yeah.
So they said they're not posting any photos. They're just going to, you know, try to show it on stage and shock some people, I think. So he could definitely be a shocker for that one.
It's all right. Go, Scott.
But I think Scott's going to look very, very good. So, and also in Men's Classic, which I'm doing, which I wish there wasn't probably these guys in there, but Luke Smith, he looked phenomenal last year and shredded, and I thought he could have even placed better than he did. And also Rowan Untersteiner, who we both know.
Okay, that's funny. Do you know I know Rowan very well?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that Rowan's staying at my house this Friday, Saturday night?
Is he?
Yes. How funny is that? Did you mention his name?
Yeah, he's competing, though. Obviously.
Yeah, he is, but you know what? You're my good mate too, Xavier. I could give him the wrong advices.
Oh, mate, just slip some dextrose in on every meal. Just sprinkle it on there.
I just take him out for the night?
Yeah,
dude. Or Mucky's prep forever.
He'll probably tighten up or something.
Yeah, he's up here for Craig's engagement party.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you need a place to stay. So I said, you know, you're more than welcome to stay with me.
Jeez, 4 weeks out, I would not want to be travelling to go to an engagement party.
I will get the inside scoop on him for you.
Excellent, mate.
Okay.
I'm not someone who likes to even look at other people now. Like, in the past, I haven't asked you once how Luke Smith's looking.
That's good, yeah.
Because in the past, I'll be saying, how's he looking? And then if you say, mate, he's looking pretty hard, I'd probably deplete myself and over-deplete myself and get sick or something. So there's no point. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that do that, though. A lot of people try to scout people and all that type of stuff, and it's just pointless, because you're not going to be your best, you're going to be someone else's.
Yeah, you can only worry. I've done 40 something comps, and I've done this to myself many times too. How's he looking? Fuck, and you're tracking down photos on Facebook, you're looking for everyone's pictures, but then you've got to sit back and go, fuck, there's nothing I can do. You know,
exactly.
I just got to do my own thing.
It does make you wonder, though. Like, I do wonder, there's no point.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference. So. But I think both those guys, I mean, Rowan, he won the Mr. Australia in Classic. Oh, I'm trying to think of what year it was. Wasn't last year, it was maybe year before, I think.
Yep.
And Luke Smith obviously looked great last year in his first year in Classic, so it'll be interesting to see how those two guys look, and so that's exciting.
Happy
but day. Mick, that's probably it for our radio show this week. I mean, we don't have too much more to talk about, do we?
No, I think we covered everything we had down written down at this stage. Still, this week's been a bit quiet with a lot of things. I'm hoping the next few weeks we're going to start seeing a lot of pictures uploaded from the guys in the Arnold Classic. Which will be
it was a very quiet week, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, it was.
The week before was good, but this week was very quiet.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought there'd be a lot more to discuss, especially with the major comps coming up. But that's all good. You know, we've discussed the 09 Olympia, which I think everyone will like, and that's definitely Olympia that's fresh in most people's minds too, which is good. So hopefully people can relate to the comments we gave.
Yeah, definitely. Mick, I just want to mention, before we go, I want to mention if the people would share the radio show, that really does help us, and I really appreciate that. So also rate and review us on iTunes. We want to get that higher ranking. If we crack into the top 100 or something, it would make me and Mick incredibly happy. So
Incredibly.
So please do that. And also also find us on Instagram and Facebook, because I've been posting up heaps on that. So I've been posting up all updated pictures of, you know, Australian competitors, international guys that are doing the Arnold, all that type of stuff. I actually posted a photo of, Evan Centipani the other day, an updated photo and stuff. So just,
I'm loving that, Dave. That's awesome. Keep doing that.
Yeah, it's good. I'm posting, multiple pictures a day. So just at RX Muscle Australia on Instagram, and then just RX Muscle Australia on Facebook. So that's nice and easy. Now I just want to thank our sponsors, obviously, Gripped Fitness Accessories. They have Rich Piana coming out, so make sure you join them at their booth at FedEx, find them and find Rich, and you can get your photo taken and all that kind of stuff. Also, Gripped have an annual face of Gripped model search that will be starting very soon. So make sure you get onto that. ATP Sciences, their Prototype 7, Nick, is coming out very soon, apparently.
As we speak, Matt is, and he sent me a photo of him in the lab with one of those masks on his face so he doesn't die. They are churning out massive amounts of Prototype 7 right now because it goes on the shelves and it's going to be in a pump. I've seen the bottle. I'm going to post a picture up hopefully tonight or tomorrow. The brand new Prototype 7 is in a pump, which is going to be a hell of a lot easier. Yes, in stores within the next few days, everyone.
Awesome. People can't wait for that. Trust me, I've had so many people contact me about
it. Oh, it works, mate. That's, you know, it's a product that's proven. I think we've had one person didn't like it and that was it.
Yeah. So, my Muscle Chef, the orders close midnight on Tuesday night, next weekend's orders, so make sure you get in and get your orders in for my Muscle Chef. Muscle Nutrition, the show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. So
love you, Matt.
So get in and get their products. Bulknutrients.com.au, some great specials on their website. International Protein, make sure you support International Protein because they've been, I think, one of our longest supporters, so they've been absolutely excellent. Mass Nutrition, another long-time supporter of RX Muscle Australia. Visit massnutrition.com.au or visit one of their 30-plus stores around Australia. And, of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. So, Mick, that's it for episode number 90. Is it 92?
92.
Kicking only 8 episodes away.
Bahama trip coming up. Woo.
Okay, yeah, whatever. So, for Michael Galley and Xavier Wills, that's it for Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts. Yeah!
Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.